This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Throughout the week, we've been talking about the challenges Milwaukee public school teachers face in the classroom and how their performance impacts their students. We've talked with academics, policy experts, education reformers, and even a school board member about what we need to do to fix the achievement gap and other issues in MPS. But there's one category of voices that's been conspicuously missing from our interviews, that of the teachers on the front lines. So we conclude our series, Project Milwaukee, Barriers to Achievement at MPS, with a show dedicated to hearing what teachers have to say about MPS's problems and what they say they need most to best help their students. We begin with a roundtable discussion with several teachers who are all members of the Educators Network for Social Justice. It's a group of classroom teachers, pre-service teachers, university professors, and community members who meet once a month to discuss issues of social justice in schools, from curriculum to governance and other educational policies. They joined Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce in WUWM's performance studio, and they began by introducing themselves.
My name is Stephanie Schneider. I teach 3 to 6-year-olds at Fernwood Montessori. It's a Milwaukee public school.
My name is Amy Gutowski. I teach 3rd grade at Thoreau Elementary, and it's a Milwaukee public school.
My name is Kelly McMahon, and I teach 5-year-old kindergarten at Lancaster, and it's a Milwaukee public school.
Hi, I'm Melissa Temple. I teach 1st grade bilingual education in Milwaukee public schools.
Hi, I'm Kelly Zhang. I teach 3rd grade at Burbank School in Milwaukee public schools.
Thank you all for joining us today on Lake Effect. We really appreciate you coming in. And obviously, you're all part of the Educators Network for Social Justice. So I wanted to start out by asking, how did you all find your way to the organization? Why did, you know, what did it appeal to you that you weren't finding elsewhere or even in your less formalized relationships with other teachers?
Teaching is an isolated profession sometimes, and you don't get to speak with and get to know teachers in your building as much as you would like to. And focusing on social justice issues was important to me in my teaching. I like to bring the outside world into the classroom, and I think children need to focus on helping others. And I just thought it was interesting to work with and to speak with and to meet with individuals who care about issues that I care about. And so that's why I joined.
Our students need advocates, and I'm a firm believer as an educator that part of my job responsibility is to be an advocate for my students, both in the classroom as well as outside in the real world. And that's the nice thing about the Social Justice Network is that it is an advocacy group for our students to make sure that our kids aren't going to face the inequalities that they currently face compared to other districts in the state or even, you know, within Milwaukee itself.
When we say social justice, what do we mean? I mean, do you feel like these issues just really aren't being included in education or perhaps just in overall education policy as it's being practiced in MPS?
I'm with Kelly about the advocacy, and right now my focus has been assessment and the way it's being used in our classrooms. And I want to focus on better assessments and assessments that really look at helping the whole child. And right now, with the state of things, you know, our schools are losing art and music, and we're not thinking about the child. Right now, it seems to me that data is God in education, and we've lost sight of the child. And so that's what my focus has been right now.
I think that a lot of teachers do have a hard time working with students in the inner city, especially they come from a different background, and I like to teach my students and try to get to know my students from a more personal level because I think that in order to really be able to teach your students, you have to be able to identify with them and you have to earn their trust, and you also have to be able to express to them that you care, and one way to do that is to get to know them, get to know their community and their families.
Much has been made about the low performance of some MPS schools and the challenges that so many MPS students come into the classroom with on top of the ones that then they face when they're trying to learn within the classroom. What have you seen in your classrooms, and how do you deal as teachers with those challenges, facing those every day?
There are definitely many, many challenges that our students come to school with every day. This week alone, I had one child talk to me about how her father was in prison. Another child talked to me about how she witnessed a murder on her street during the week between the afternoon and the next morning when she came back to school. And I think that those issues are citywide issues that we should all care about a lot. And those are issues that aren't being addressed. And when we talk about problems in schools, we're failing to identify and address things that are going on that the students are really dealing with on a daily basis. And with those types of things happening at home, there's really no way that children can come to school ready to learn and prepared to learn.
Just today, I had a student that came in, had stopped at the nurse's office. We have a nurse, fortunately, at my school for half a day every day because we have a high asthma population, and had stopped at the nurse's office because his two front teeth were hurting so much because they're severely decayed. And, you know, a child that's in pain isn't going to be able to focus on what's going on in the classroom and learn. And so much of what we face, that our children do face, those are challenges within itself, but also the system of MPS also presents challenges in our schools. My school is on its fourth administrator within 3 years. I mean, it's really hard to move forward when there's constant change in the leadership.
Right now, I just feel every day I look and I read at the Journal Sentinel, and there's just one negative article after another about MPS, and it's demoralizing. And I don't understand why the schools have become the whipping boys for all of society's ills. We do not exist in a vacuum. I guess the U.S. has the highest percentage of children in poverty of all the industrialized nations. And right now, the way we are saying schools are successful is by looking at one test score. We have to redefine success. And it's very concerning to me because my children at the age of 8, my students, who I think of as my children, are being labeled as failures at the age of eight. And so, you know, but yet they're not given the supports that they deserve. We don't have a reading specialist in our building. I mean, we want to raise reading scores, but we don't have reading specialists anymore. And like I said, next year we're not going to have music, we're not going to have art, we're not going to have gym, we're not going to have a librarian. And I don't think the general public knows these things, and they need to understand that this is happening and this is real. And I don't think people in the suburbs would stand for it. And I just wonder why it's okay for the children in MPS to be treated this way. And that's, you know, just really the heart of it, I think, myself.
And I think all these issues that people are voicing is just makes it clear how important it is to have an organization like ENSJ, a place for teachers to go to talk about these issues. And just I think that a social justice teacher occupies a unique space that, you know, there can be great teachers that create beautiful, welcoming classrooms that our children are learning and are having fun. But, you know, the children still leave the school doors and, you know, enter the real world. And I think to be a social justice teacher, you have that wider vision of all the issues that are intersecting our children's lives, you know, whether it be poverty or racism or crime. All these things you take into account and you work with them inside your classroom. And you also are, like teachers have said before, we're advocates on wider issues as well.
We are in very bad economic times, and our school funding system is horrible in the state of Wisconsin. The fact that our children look wealthier than what they actually do, and we receive less state aid than some of the more wealthier suburban districts, is a crime. And you have states like Arizona and Kansas passing a 1 cent sales tax to find additional resources for schools. And yet here in Wisconsin, our legislators who know that our schools are hurting, they are hearing about it. They know what's going on at the federal level with the emergency education funding bill moving forward, hopefully being signed, and the number of teachers and paraprofessionals who are parents of our kids potentially being laid off, which means even more children not having the financial supports that they need at home to buy books or have healthy meals and go to, you know, see the doctor or the dentist, you know, take care of those teeth. Those are going to be more issues next year, but yet our legislators aren't willing to put forth a penny for our kids.
What are the successes that you've experienced in your classrooms? You're there, you're on the front lines. Have there been successful stories?
There are thousands, and it's a shame that we don't hear them. And this is the first time that I've ever been asked, truly, in 9 years of teaching, you know, how I see it in my classroom. And successes, we had our third grade spelling bee today, and it was very, very exciting. The winning word, I believe, was auditorium. And my class, our third grade classes, responded to the Haiti earthquake. Recently, we made Haiti houses, and we raised $400 to send to Haiti. There are things like this happening every day in classrooms all around Milwaukee, and it's not being reflected in the test scores, maybe. But I think that, and I know that I want the children in my classroom to be excited about learning and to be compassionate people and to understand their place in the world and to just be curious and experience wonder. And if those things happen, that's success for me. And that's why right now I just feel like when we say a school is failing, we're looking at one test score. I mean, learning is joyful when it's, you know, at its core. And right now in the system, it is not joyful. And children deserve that. They deserve joy. And learning should be fun. And, you know, I'm all about reading, writing, and arithmetic, but I'm also about, you know, children being children, and we've lost sight of that.
A test can't really measure that joy.
It's one day out of a child's life. You know, last year I had a child who witnessed her cousin choked on a hot dog, saw her cousin die. She came to school the very next day. I had another student who lost his mother to an asthma attack. He came to school the very next day. And, you know, we're chasing kids down, you know, because you have to have 100% of your students taking these tests. But it's one day, and our children face a lot. And it's been shown that the socioeconomics, the test scores are tied directly to the amount of money that the child's parents make. Poverty is deep and affecting all of our children in Milwaukee. And those kids, you know, there are exceptions. Of course, there are always exceptions. And there are always those lean on me and those, you know, heroic stories. But we have kids who are facing so much, and our job as teachers are to help them be excited about learning and to comfort them and to help them build character. And so we do. And right now the media is so intent upon, I don't know, breaking us down, and we're just trying to do our jobs.
I agree with Amy. I think there are lots and lots and lots of stories of success with our students and even our colleagues. I have so many stories. Like when we did a read aloud with Anne Frank. My children love read alouds, and I've always shared with my colleagues, whatever book you pick up and read to the class and you put it back in the library, there's no doubt that 30 children will be grabbing for that one book the very next day. And, you know, I do that with a classroom library. I'll pick up a Magic Treehouse series and read it out loud to the class and make it so exciting. And the next day, the entire bucket of Magic Treehouse books are entirely gone. And children get really excited about learning how to read. And so they were really in Anne Frank. They were really in Haiti. They were really into learning about natural disasters, all these nonfiction topics. And they do have a great curiosity, and they do want to learn. What they don't want to do is sit there and bubble in. They don't want to bubble in. And they sit there and we say, try your best. Bubble it in. If you don't know, make a guess. Because this is how our schools know how we're doing. This is how the superintendent knows how our district is doing. I had a student this last time we took our benchmark testing, flat out refused to finish his test. And we said, that's fine. Hand it in. Because what else can we do? We can't force him to bubble it in. Exactly. It is very cruel. So there are a lot of stories of success. And I am so proud of my students. When you have a discussion with them, they're able to show their high level of thinking. Unfortunately, you can't show a discussion on a piece of paper. You can't show these questions that they ask you on a piece of paper. I mean, these children floor me. When we're talking about Anne Frank, they were asking me about all the different wars that have been going on in the world, and I am not a historian, so they really put me to work, you know? And I say, I love that. I love it when you ask me questions that I can't answer. I say to them, write down that question, and I will look it up, and I'll find the answer for you. Because as a teacher, I may not know everything, but I know how to find the answers to things.
Those things, they don't matter right now, because all that matters when you're looking at the success of MPS or any other school is whether or not that child and your kids are able to meet their annual yearly progress. And it doesn't matter if they went from maybe being 2 years behind grade level to only being a semester behind grade level. It doesn't matter. And that's a shame, because as long as you're holding the bar here and having unrealistic expectations for some children, you're setting them up to fail. and to feel like failures.
Well, I'm sure we could talk for another half hour here, but let me say thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's good to be here.
Our MPS Teacher Roundtable included Stephanie Schneider from Fernwood Montessori School, Amy Gutkowski, a third-grade teacher at Thoreau Elementary, Kelly McMahon, who's a kindergarten teacher at Lancaster Elementary School and a primary representative elected to the MTEA, Melissa Temple, a first-grade bilingual education teacher in MPS, and Kathy Zhang, who teaches third grade in Luther Burbank Elementary School. They're all members of the Educators Network for Social Justice. You can find more information and a link from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take a break and in a moment hear about a program within MPS to mentor teachers during the earliest and often most challenging years of their career. This is Lake Effect on WUWM.